Hey, it's Cody.
And Matt, and thanks for joining us for another episode of
The ComaCast. Matt, we're going to be diving into all things involving the LGBT community, including our own lives.
And don't forget our cats.
We don't want to forget them. The ComaCast starts now.
Podcasting from the Lone Star State in Southern California, you're listening to The Coma Podcast with Cody and Matt.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to The ComaCast. I'm Cody, and my co-host, Matt.
I am here. And I'm alive.
You have your coffee, I see.
Yeah, we actually went to...
Not Starbucks. What's going on?
It is Dutch Brothers. So I was visiting friends. We have a Dutch Brothers here. We have several of them. But every time I'm there, they were out of like the milk. It was during the shortages. They were out of the milk alternatives. So it was during the supply. I know, I have the worst luck.
Okay. But,
yeah, if you've watched our podcast for a while, every time I try to go get coffee somewhere, there is something wrong and I can't have the drink I want. And that's okay. I'll get like a lemonade. I'll get something else. It's fine. But I am lactose intolerant, so I have to have some kind of alternative. And it's like our nemesis. But you know what?
I visited Texas in December, and I got the apple oat milk macchiato. And we talked about that in December. It was like our favorite. And I started doing what you did, adding vanilla. But so I went several times and got it. And then it seemed like every Starbucks in my hometown ran out of milk alternatives, which made sense because I doubt many people get milk alternatives.
Well, during the it was during the shortages and everything, and it was really, you know, I worked for Target during that time, and so our Target has a Starbucks in it, and the display case it has like the items available, it was like empty, and then the oven broke, so we couldn't even stuff we had we couldn't like heat it up, so it was like.
Oh, you cursed that Starbucks.
I did. I got there and they're like, nothing works, and they're like, oh, but you work here now. I'm like, yeah, sorry. But Cody, it is nice.
It's been a while.
We're going to say that we initially recorded an intro for this season back in December. And yeah. Cody, as he mentioned, he was back home visiting his stepdad. And Cody requested the other day, you know, I'll be honest, I was a little hesitant on it because Cody, you're really more private than I am. And you don't like to share a lot because you really like your way of doing things. And we talk about this with Cody's anxiety in previous episodes. But Cody requested to re-record this episode specifically. And so as it's our intro, normally we would save this for later because it's private to Cody. But the last two seasons, it went from Cody being like private. And I'm like, well, Cody, tell us how you feel. And you're like, I don't want to. And I'm like, well, now we're going to do episodes on tell us how you feel. Cody, tell us why we're recording.
Yeah, so we had planned to start a whole new season. We told everybody we're going to start a whole new season in January 1st of February. And so, like Matt said, we recorded the episode. We had several episodes already recorded, and we were set to release them all. But some things happened. Of course, if you're new here, welcome. This is kind of like our start of a new season.
But we have some dark reasons. Sorry.
Yeah, and again, you can watch us on YouTube or podcast. So do that. But yeah, so we had said it was recorded, and then things started happening. And so in basically what happened in January, I went back home to see my family. My stepdad had gotten sick. And so I went to help out my mom and see everybody and kind of just help out with the situation. So that kind of put a pause on editing different things. And so I was there for about 2 weeks. And then when we were there, basically we had found out that my stepdad had, a form of leukemia. And so they immediately started some chemo and it started working and it was going well. And so I ended up leaving Texas. And then he finished up and then got to go home like a day or two later after I had left and things were looking good. I'd kept Matt updated and everything. And then, middle of February, so a few weeks later, things started not looking as good. So anybody who knows anything about, like, cancer or chemo knows that chemo can be extremely hard on you. It's helping save you, but it's also basically killing you you know?
Right. And we're talking about somebody who he had some other health, like, you know, he wasn't exactly a 20-year-old. Like, when you typically have chemo, a lot of times it brings to light any other health issue you might have. It makes it so hard on the patient. That's why you see patients, they're so ill. It's not just the chemo.
Yeah, he had heart issues and kidney issues and diabetes. So basically the whole list of things. And so like when they were doing the chemo, they were very concerned about all of those particular issues, especially kidneys, and everything went well. Like he had a specialist, basically every specialist I was telling Matt you could think of, he had a specialist for whatever body part. And they were all like pleased with how it went, you know. But then afterwards, there started being the chemo complications that were occurring as things were processing. And then he got really sick and then got put back in the hospital. And then sadly, he did pass away like at the end of February. It was just too much with the chemo plus all of the other health issues that had been going on. And so then I went back to Texas and I was there for about 2 weeks. You know, with doing stuff and prepping things for the funeral and seeing my family, helping my mom out and doing all of those things. And then it seems like I got back and then it seems like March is already over. And so you're going to start seeing these episodes. If you're watching this, it is now April. So happy spring, everybody. But
right now it's the middle of March. Like, normally we don't tell you guys specific dates because we know what we want to talk about, but I think a lot of podcasts and a lot of shows, they pretend like bad things don't happen, or they kind of talk about it in a distant way. And I think because we're both real people, we're not portraying we're not like a talking head. We're not portraying a personality. What you see is really what you get. The way you see Cody and I talk on here, this is literally what our text messages look like. He is telling me this information in real time. And you just roll with it because, you know, life does happen. And I think watching you experience this, one, it was really hard because there's nothing we can do for you. But in a weird way, one thing that I think in our community that doesn't happen is a lot of times when there's grief in the family, that's when you find out, like, you know, we don't want the gay kid there. Whereas in your family, you guys are just a family. Like, you guys are family. And it's such a positive relationship. I've never heard you, like, anything you've ever said that was a negative. It's not really a negative. It's like, oh, my family member pissed me off when I was a teenager because I was a teenager and things piss you off. It's like normal stuff. And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, he's so functional, you know, like, and so watching you go through this, I think I had this fear that it's almost like for a lot of our members that you almost wait for the other shoe to drop, that not only do you have this really stressful thing and you're grieving and you're sad and your mom is sad, your sister's sad, but you have somebody, you know, the racist aunt that drops the super rude thing at the worst possible time. And that just isn't a thing in your family. Like, they don't treat you with disrespect. They respect how you feel and you respect how they feel. And yeah, I'm like,
yeah. Yeah. It was interesting. You know? Yeah. I will say, like, I hadn't seen a lot, like, I haven't seen my cousins in a long time. Like, you know, I've been out of Texas for, like, it'll be, I think, like, 8 years in May. And so I've been out of Texas a long time. So anytime that they would maybe, like, go visit my grandmother or different things like that, I just wasn't there. And so it'd been, like probably, like, 10 years since I'd seen my cousins. More recently, I'd seen my uncle and aunt. Same with my stepbrother and sister, you know, everyone just lives in different places. And so, like, you just don't get to see people as much. And so, yeah, getting to see everybody was also interesting. I think, like I was talking with my aunt and stuff, and she was talking about, like, how good it was to see everybody and get to, like, just chat and talk, even under the circumstances that we were under. And that we should probably do this more often, get together or at least talk. And I think things like this happen and you do realize that, you know, obviously in our community, there's a lot of people whose family, like you were mentioning, they just really aren't part of that family. or, you know, I do know a lot of people, most of all my friends, their families are divorced. And so they basically just grew up with their mom if they are close with anybody in their family. And so right. you do have
relationships because we're usually not seen as complete people. They usually are like, well, we want you around, but we don't want to hear about the gay stuff. Because it's like, well, if I have a partner, they're just as part of the family as your cousin's boyfriend or girlfriend or mm-hmm. their kid. You know what I mean? Like, and they don't see that. Whereas in your family, like, Justin is a part of your life. Therefore,
yeah,
you know, by extension, he's a part of your family. And I think watching you experience this, I've watched you struggle so hard in the last couple of years because lockdown happened, and we're not going to pretend that lockdown bothered Cody or I. Like, we're not going to pretend that, but it did impact Cody's relationships with his family. Like, I saw, because you still, even though you get really anxious about travel now, you've gotten so much better about it. You've really taken a lot of steps to allow, get yourself to put yourself back out there. But when you started being able to come home, I know if you guys remember, his grandmother had gotten sick and passed away, and it happened very quickly and suddenly, and then like other family members, and you were coming home and you were trying to come home and do positive things and have fun. And in our family, we have done same things when it kind of became a mini family reunion. My mom's side of the family is very like that. Like mm-hmm. it was really awkward for a couple years, but like as my aunts and uncles got married, they would, you know, we would get together and it would kind of become like the reception would become kind of a mini family reunion. Everybody has fun. And then the next year somebody would pass away. And the year after that, another relative would get married. And so for like 5 years, I remember it felt like we were going home to Ohio every year for either a wedding or a funeral, or we were going somewhere in the country or in Florida or Ohio. Yeah. And it would become like, there would be this mix of like weeping and crying, and then also somebody telling the most hilarious, inappropriate joke ever, because I'm from a family of rednecks and that's just like what we do. But, you know, it's like this strangeness, you know, it's like there's that mm-hmm. grief, but also that celebration of life. And yeah. it's very, I don't know, surreal.
Yeah, most definitely. Like, yeah. And I didn't mention this in the episode when we were recording it, the original beginning episode of the new season that we recorded in January, because obviously my stepdad had been sick at the time when we recorded that episode. But like, I think Justin had said this before. And so this equates to anybody who is really close with their family, maybe only part of their family, or even I say you're like really close friend groups, which I'm going to say is family. But people who don't live in your hometown, basically. That like thinking about your parents, if you go back just like at Christmas or Thanksgiving, you're only going to like see your parents, you know, maybe 20 more times in your entire life or less, because right. you think how old they are, what the average lifespan in America is. And then if you are only going back once a year or twice a year, whether it's to see your grandparents or your really close friends or anything like that, I think that's an interesting way to look at something like that, in that you are only going to see these people that you grew up with your whole life, or like friend groups you grew up with. There are only those handful of times now that you're going to see them in the rest of your life. And I think that's a really interesting way to look at that in a perspective.
It's a very real way of looking at it. And you're absolutely right. And another reason we didn't talk about this in January, other than Cody saying, okay, he's recovering now, was because you were really stressed, and it was not good. Another segment we had actually planned for this season was a friend of ours was going to share some of his life stories, which he ultimately made into a blog, but I can't share because one, I don't have access to it, and two, he wouldn't want that shared in this way, because he was going to share with us kind of from his perspective of the crazy things he has seen. And he passed away the day you told me your dad had gotten sick. Like out of nowhere, I got notified at work by a friend who thought I'd already known. And it just like double slap. And because, you know, Cody yeah. and I are very close. And so of course, you know, your heart hurts for your friend, because I'm only a few hours away from Cody's hometown. But so, you know, it's just pretty much, hey, if it's hectic, I will come to you, whatever you need. But Cody's family is not insane. And so he doesn't need that kind of support. He just needs to know you're there. And then, but I'm so thankful that your family is normal for the sake of, at least like nobody's family's normal, but like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, we've all read the stories of our friends on Twitter and growing up of when something tragic has happened. Like in my family, we call my dad Bad News Betsy. And it's really dark, but like whenever something terrible happens, he's the first one to pick up his cell phone and start calling down every single relative, family, friend, and neighbor, whatever thing has happened, whether it's something terribly tragic or did you hear what Matt did? Like, oh my God, stop doing that. And it's like, you're in the middle of grieving something and then you just start laughing because he's being totally serious. And you're like, I am trying to cry my eyes out right now. And you are being so dramatic. I need you to just go anywhere else but here. And it's just like, but he drives my mom up a wall. And then the whole situation becomes like Three Stooges comical because they're so freaking serious. And my sisters and I are like, our sister and I are just like, is this real life? Because, you know, when you're grieving, everything feels very surreal. Like you have, mm-hmm. you have not slept. You have not been eating. If you even remember to drink something, it was coffee or water. It was not water. You know, it was like, and you're just like, I don't know what day it is. I don't know what week it is. And we got this asshole off doing their thing. So as you're kind of, I try not to text you too much, but Cody is really good about kind of keeping me in the loop because I think, you know, I worry about you and you were close by. Well, and as far as Texas, in Texas, if you're 3 hours away, you're basically a block away. That is like neighborhood. Yeah. So I was very worried about you, but you would text and check in. And I'm just like, oh, thank God his family is there. And I remember saying, this slipped out of my mouth. But I was like, I'm so glad you have your antidepressants just like to fly. Not while you were there. I wasn't, you know, weirdly, I wasn't worried about you while you were there other than like, please not let like a family member freak out at everybody. Just out of grief, because people, when you're in an emotionally charged state, you might say something you totally don't mean. You don't even really think it. You're just like so burned out. Because obviously I know your family's close and you have your sister, your step siblings, and your dad was very special to all of you. And like watching this was just, I just didn't know. I never know. Well, one, I never know what Cody's going to text me. That is just part of like the charm of being your friend. but I was very happy. See you, like you would text me, you're like, I'm okay, I've just been crying a lot, but I'm okay right at this moment, like
I think that's one of the things, like you had mentioned, my grandmother passed away during the first year of the pandemic and I didn't get to go back home, and so that was hard but weird and easy, kind of the same. Like it was just weird because I wasn't there. Like if you're like removed from the situation, you're not seeing her like suffer, or you're not seeing like the situation that she was in, you're not seeing other family members like crying, or you're not like at her house, you're not, you know, in the moment. And so
hospital rooms, and all they remember, people tell me that, you know, because I do the hospital thing now, and it's like people see their relative and all they see are like drips and the beeping of the monitors, and they don't know what a lot of that means. They don't know that these monitors, it's not harmful, but that's what they associate, and it just adds to the trauma. Like even though that's not it does add to it, because that's like what you're seeing. You're not seeing this healthy, vibrant person that you're used to seeing.
Yeah. And I think also being there, I mentioned to Matt, like I had like my fourth grade teacher, my sixth grade teacher, people that I worked with, like at the TV station, like they all came to like the viewing and everything. And then just seeing everybody else talk and tell stories, like tons and tons of people, I thought was just like is a touching thing. But then also, yeah, again, to see my like teachers and like hug them, it's like a weird relationship, I think, but it's something that I'm like blessed that I did have, that I grew up like with an elementary school, everyone was close, and I'm still like close with teachers and everything. But yeah, the whole thing, like I even told Matt, the whole thing was kind of surreal in it. Like his heart doctors and stuff, they like closed down the whole like office, so that the nurses and everybody from that office could go to the funeral and everything. So,
I think it just speaks to like how special of a person he was to so many people, and like how many lives he must have touched. Because obviously we've been friends for several years, and I never met Cody's dad, but obviously like his influence over you was very strong, because you just have always exuded such kindness and just a gentleness with the people around you. Even when you don't, like, you didn't grow up in a traumatic environment in the sense that a lot of our fellow members do, but yet you're generally very open to listening to, you never try to say, well, it wasn't like that for me, so you're fine. Like, you've never, like, expressed that. And, you know, and that a lot of times happens because some people, if they can't experience trauma, they don't know how to listen to it. They don't know how to, like, it's okay not to empathize because you don't, you didn't feel it. How do you, like, what do you have? But you always just have that sympathy. And obviously it comes from, yeah, we all innately are somewhere or another, but nature and nurture work in tandem. And you've always spoke so positively of your stepdad. And you were sending me picture. I think at one point I went to the bathroom and cried just because I knew how sad you were, and we're friends. And you, well, I won't share the story because it'll probably make you cry too, but I definitely absolutely started crying when you sent it to me. It was the, you know, which one I'm talking about?
No.
I was with your niece.
The jewelry.
Yeah, yes, done. I literally went to the bathroom later and cried so hard because it was just so beautiful. And you know, I'm glad you wanted to do this and share a little bit, because I think a lot of people don't, because when we've taken breaks and delays before, it might be because of school anxiety. The one when your grandmother had passed away, we took a bit of a break because we were doing 2 episodes a week, 2 full lives a week, and I was still doing school and we were still doing other projects to, one, keep ourselves busy, and two, because the world had stopped, we were filling that time in with all these other things we hadn't been able to do. And we took a pretty solid break, and I remember thinking that was a really good thing, because it's a lot to have a camera on you. Even though you do our editing, you can't keep a straight face sometimes six, eight hours a day when you're in your own home talking to somebody who knows you. And, you know, I'm aware when you're sad, and I don't want you to, we're not doing something that's so imperative that you can't turn the camera off and just be alone and in your own thoughts for a bit. But I'm glad you want to do this and share, because this is a very different Cody than 3 years ago when we first started doing this, and you were very like, I don't want to share anything about myself. I'm glad you are. And I hope it's cathartic for you to be able to share, because they were such good people in your life. This isn't, I feel it's sad. It's frustrating when, you know, we have our community members share, you know, oh, this person passed, and you're like, but they were also kind of kicked the crap out of me for 23 years. And sorry, they chose that life. You know, it's a different kind of, this is a different experience as we're talking about this.
Yeah, I mean, I think like we've always tried to do is like be open about things. And last year we were on and off episodes, and so you didn't get to see many episodes last year. Things started off great, and then as we mentioned, my anxiety took over and it got really, really bad, and that did prompt me to get medicines. COVID happened. I blame Matt. I'm gonna say he gave it to me.
I got COVID, and then Cody got it a week later, and then I was sick for like 3 months. Like,
so it was like, oh, we can't record. I'm coughing constantly and can't stop coughing.
I couldn't stay awake.
So yeah, I think we've always tried to be open about things, and like you've been open about like certain health things that you've been going through. So I think it's always important to do that, because that we're going through it. It's not like we're special or anything. And I think like, as far as like people passing away, I have seen a lot of people our age who do have some relationship with certain family members, a mom or a dad or whatever, and that they have passed away. Like, we are getting to that age where things like that are going to start happening more.
In my group of friends, I'm the only one besides you that, like, my biological parents are both alive. We don't speak. But, you know, and that's something I've had this conversation with myself, and I've had it with David, because his parents passed, I think 3 months apart in the same year, even though they weren't together. And it was not, I mean, one was tragic. The other was like, to him, like, that's how he handled it. And, and the one that was hard was the one he knew was coming. And so, I'd love to have him on to kind of talk about his perspective on grief, because he's very direct. And he's actually slightly off camera. You can probably hear the video game he's playing, but I chose to record in the living room today. but the conversation I have with myself is, I don't have positive relationships with my parents. So when they pass, can I live with myself for things we've talked about, how we've said, but they are not capable of changing. But for me to accept them into my life at any more than I have requires me to do things I can't accept. And I would never ask anybody else to do. And I'd be upset if somebody tried to make me do it, because people have before. And it's, I'm going to be sad that they chose this, made the choices they did, but it's, you know, it's sad, but at the same time, like, they have had a full life. They've had all the time in the world to make things right in whatever way they see fit. And if that's how they feel, that's okay. Like, you have to, it's like accepting apologies you're never going to receive, and accepting that, like, this might be the life that they chose. And I don't need to allow them near me, but I do need to accept whatever choices they make, because I want them to accept my choices. Mm-hmm. So I have to accept theirs. I don't have to think they're right, and they don't have to think mine are right. But you do have to come to a sense of peace in order to just let it go. And, you know, I'm not naive. I know I will be really upset when they pass, but you can't undo terrible things that have been done. You can just say, okay, that happened, but I'm not going to inflict that on my children or my friends or my other surviving family members, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's something that, like, our community wrestles with a lot. I think a lot of people wrestle with it, you know, as we get older and people get older and go, oh my gosh, my mom was actually a monster when people weren't looking, you know? Oh, but you grew up in a nice home and you had food on the table. I'm like, yeah, that does not stop parents from berating their children every chance they got because they had a kid they didn't want and then made it the kid's problem, you know? Mm-hmm. So you going through this in a completely different way, like, your parents like you, like, as a whole person. They don't just love you and wish for your safety. They actively, like, participate in your life, and they want to hear about Justin. They want to hear about your endeavors, and they want you involved in their life, because not because you're useful, but because you're Cody, you're their child. And I think that is such a beautiful thing, especially we reach an age where there's the mom and dad dynamic, but also we're big kids. Like, we're adults now. We're not 23. We're, like, in our late 30s. So
I will say that is a weird thing. Like, seeing everybody, yeah, seeing my aunt and sister. It was when that TikTok trend came out where it was making you look really young. And so, like, people were doing it with their parents and stuff. But, like, I feel like you imagine yourself looking like that and being that young, even though you're not.
And you're so, like, family? Absolutely. Because, like, like, when I'm around you guys, of course, I know what I look like. I see you guys. But when I'm around my family, my actual family, I feel like I still feel like that 10-year-old, that little tiny bony 10-year-old who doesn't know what to say, doesn't know what to do. And I just want to go hide in the corner. But I'm not that person anymore. I'm a fully formed late 30s adult. Actually, technically, I hit my late 30s in May. I'm 37 in May. But we have to, you know, when you're around those people, you still see that. And then you look in the mirror, you look at a family picture, and you're like,
and I'm like, oh, brand? I still am.
Yeah. No, well, the thing is, we don't age. But, you know, seeing it, you know, wow, you know, the person that was always so vibrant and happy, oh, well, that auntie has gray hair, and your cousins are like, oh, wow, cousin such and such is like 48 now. And you're like, you remember them being like 25, graduating, yeah, from college, and meeting
it's
their
weird
wife, and, you know, and
it's,
you're
weird,
like, oh crap. Like, cause, you know, like you were saying, you only see them certain times of the year, you know? And my family, I know some families, like, live all, like, near each other and they can do that. In our family, that, well, I don't know. Like, I think Thanksgiving would be way more exciting. Yeah, a little homicidal. But most of them actually do get together a lot. Like, some of the brothers, my mom has 6 brothers and sisters. And I'm over here like, get out of my room. Matt, you live alone. I was talking to you, you know? But as a kid, I wanted that big family. I wanted, you know, I think I always dreamed like I would have that big family, and I have a big sister or big brother to walk me to school, or because, like, I saw my friends that had big brothers, like, oh, my big brother and I, we went to McDonald's and went to the mall together, and he spent the whole day with me, and we're like 10, and I'm like, well, that seems fun. you know, like, you know, they just did stuff like that.
Matt, and, I'll be your little brother and I'll walk you to school. Wait, what?
You're older than me.
No, I'm younger.
Yeah. Maybe, okay, your complexion is, but like.
Yeah, everybody. So that's where I've been. And that's why this newest season has been delayed a few months. But you know, we're going to have a full rest of this season, which will be 2 months.
It's going to be a short season because I'm also finishing nursing school soon.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in another episode.
and then in July, Pride Month. So we'll have some Pride fun for everybody. Do what?
June is Pride Month.
What did I say?
July.
June, sorry.
God, we got one, y'all. We got one of them straights masquerading again. Oh my God.
We'll be doing all that. So we have a lot of episodes planned for y'all. We have them some recorded already. Bree will be back. And she'll be talking to us about things. We talk about, I mean, I guess this goes good with like aging and stuff, but we talk about nostalgia. And then we also talk about things we think we remember, the Mandela effect.
Yes,
but is that old age?
We had actually recorded a bunch of stuff for you guys. And the January started out fine.
Like, it did.
It
was going to be good.
I was ready for my fourth semester of nursing school. We were going to have our friend on. I talked to him and your dad was recovering really well and you were feeling really good. And like, and then in like the span of a week, like several other events happened that I don't want to talk about because it just makes me sad and I don't want to talk about it. But like it just happened so fast. And Cody's like, I'm on the plane to Texas. And
yeah, it was fast.
Oh my God. The plane. Like the flight, remember? Like you got on the flight and then it like, so we all know Cody's anxious, right? So okay. Cody's like, okay, I'm on the flight, I'm fine, I'm okay. And then there's a mechanical issue. They're just we're deplaning right now, and it, because the plane stopped working or something. And I'm like, this is when I was like, thank God you have your antidepressants. I was
so like I used to travel a lot and I love traveling, but then I started getting really anxious in the last like handful of years. And it is what it is. But yeah, this was when I was going back in January. So this, he had first gotten put in the hospital. So I was just going to go help out basically with my mom's dog. So they didn't have to be like crated or like go somewhere, you know, cause my mom was spending all the time at the hospital. And so, yeah, we got on the plane, we barely moved and they're like, oh yeah. The plane starter, it's not getting up to speed. We might can fix it, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, airlines put layovers so close together, and also there's minimal flights going to my hometown, and if I don't make the flight, it's like a 4-hour drive. Again, short in Texas, but it still sucks and is annoying. And so I texted Matt, well, like, not leaving. So I got off, and then the next day got on the flight because it was gonna be storming, because it's been storming like crazy here. And so I got out before the storms came, and then I got to Dallas, and then like the flight attendant or something had broken the door. And so they were having to fix it. And I was like, oh my God, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
I will say the only in this whole since December, when everything started, that was the only part that I thought you were actually going to lose your shit. Because I mean, you were just like, are you fucking with me? You were so frustrated.
I feel like there was something else. When I was coming back, the day before I was leaving, it like got like rainy in Texas, and then it was going to freeze, but like right at 32. But like in Texas, no, like, well, Dallas, they would have it, but like
the smaller
towns, lower than Dallas.
We don't have snow trucks, salt trucks, ice trucks, nothing. We don't have nothing because it only happens 1 or 2 days a year.
Yeah. So I was afraid that there was going to be ice on the runways. And now I do know in previous times they have de-iced the planes, so they have the capabilities. But obviously, if the runway is a little bit frozen or whatever, they're just not going to do it. It's a smaller plane too, so like that's whatever. But so like at midnight they like cancel the flight. And I'm like, are you kidding? Mechanical issues, they said. And
it was so long. Like, Time he would text me and say, okay, my flight, because Cody always tells me when his flights are. And that's how I knew things were really bad, because you said, I'm at the airport, I'm walking onto a flight right now. And I'm like, oh, that's how I knew things were really, really serious, because normally Cody will say, hey, I'm going to fly back to Texas, I'm sorry I can't come see you. And I'm like, well, it's okay. Like, text me, I'll come get you. Because where he lands and has to drive home, I'm like, are you okay? Because usually your family would come get you. And I was like, do you need me to come get you? I'll come up there and get you, and I'll drive you home. Like, he's never asked me officially to do it. He's never needed me to do it, but the offer is always there. So when he's like, I'm on the plane, I'm like, oh, okay, it's go time. Like, okay, I'm ready. Like, what do you need? And then when you're telling me each of these adventures, I'm like, David, this man is going to have a stroke. Like, Cody is not, he's like, thank God. I hope that prescription's strong enough.
But anyway,
thank you guys for listening. And Cody's adventures have been something, but we're glad to have him back.
We're glad to be back. We're going to be back again, like I said. Episodes will start dropping from this point on until like the end of May. And then we'll have some Pride episodes in June. We may take a little break in July because, we'll have more details on that. There's stuff going on with Matt. And
get to hang out this summer. I'm so excited. David's like, I can't believe you guys haven't actually met yet. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Like, the top hasn't met a bottom, and it's like locked to a key, you know?
I feel like we are like, if someone like saw our relationship, they would be like, oh yeah, they've known each other for like decades, and they've definitely hung out a lot. Never seen him in person.
Yeah,
he doesn't realize how tall I am, y'all.
Yeah, like,
hey, everyone thought I was tall.
Everyone. Yeah, I know. And I'm like 5 inches taller than Cody, y'all. And you're 5'6"?
Yeah, I'm 5'6".
Yeah, I'm 4 inches taller.
So yeah, and then we'll have new episodes obviously in the fall. But yeah, we can't wait for you to hear all these episodes that we have planned for you, and we hope all of you have a great April, and we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Oh, next week you get to learn more about Matt.
Oh no, it's Cody. Oh, it's mine. Yeah. Yeah,
it's you.
Oh, it is mine. That's right. Then later it's Cody.
Yes. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
So, hey guys, we want to remind everyone that you can keep in touch with us on all of our social media channels, whether that is Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. You can do all of that at the ComaCast.
And we definitely love to interact and hear from all of our listeners. All of this is not possible without you guys.
And if you don't mind rating our podcast on iTunes or whatever your preferred podcast provider is, just leave a comment. It's greatly appreciated.
And thank you for joining us.
See you next time.